and it just seems to flow in and weave together really, really well. We're going to begin by reading from Scripture and Ephesians chapter 6. This will be a passage very familiar to many of you. Powerful passage. So it's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. It's on the screen. I'm going to read it out. I'm reading it in the New International Version. That might be different from the Bible you have in front of you. I don't know. But I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, and with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. My dad is a preacher, and I grew up listening to my dad sermons every Sunday. I probably listened to thousands of my dad's sermons. He'd be preached morning and evening, different sermons. Probably one of the best preachers I've ever heard, and still is, actually, in his 80s. He's still an incredible speaker and preacher. But when you're 9, you don't really appreciate that. Maybe why the children ran out quite so quickly, because I knew I was on next. When you're 9, you don't quite appreciate how good somebody is at speaking. And I had these coping strategies, because in the morning, I'd go out to Sunday school when I was at church. But in the evening, I'd go along to church as well. So I'd be there in church as a kid, listening to the sermon. And one of the ways I got through it was I would have a tally chart of all the words my dad had used in the sermon. Exciting, isn't it? But it was better than trying to follow it. So I had a list of all the words he used. So if he used the word God, I'd do a mark on my piece of paper. If he used the word and, I would put that down. So I had about 100 ands. 30 gods, one god, but 30 gods, and I had all these tally chart, just so I would have something to do during the sermon. It was before you had tablets or phones or anything like that you could distract your children with. And there I was. And I sort of had fun doing that. But it wasn't much fun for my dad, because after church, I would let him know the list of the words he'd used. You ever seen those things called Wordles you can have on the internet, where if you have a text, you can do it on Bible passages. If you have a text, it will highlight the words that come up the most in the text. It's called a Wordle. It's like a picture, word picture. It's quite interesting. Anyway, it was like that. I was ahead of my time, shall we say. I was ahead of my time. And I would tell him the words he'd used. And I would also tell him when he said something like or had sort of I'd sort of hesitated, and he really liked that when I told him he did 20 erms in the sermon, because no public speaker likes to know how many times they've done that. So good feedback, I thought, but he, after a long day of preaching, he probably didn't like it that much. So I would listen intently to every word my father had said. But you know, I'm not sure if I actually got to grips with what he was doing. Now, as a child, I do remember a handful of my dad's sermons, or parts of them. But usually I didn't. Even though I listened intently, even though forensically I had every word down that he said, I didn't really grasp what he was doing and what he was really trying to communicate. And I sort of forgive my 9-year-old self for that. You know, I'm not going to go back and beat myself up because I didn't really get it. But you know, when it comes to prayer, I think I'm often still like that 9-year-old boy. I can go through the mechanics of prayer. I can tick off the list of prayer. I can break prayer down into its individual parts. I've read some great books on prayer. I've heard some wonderful wisdom on prayer. But sometimes I miss the guts of it. I miss the gold, the sort of golden thread that runs through prayer. Our theme this morning is, and our scripture this morning is, prayer in the Spirit. If I can find my text again, that line, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the Lord's people. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Pray in the Spirit. Now, sometimes I think I miss the core and the golden thread of prayer, even though I know the mechanics. I know to start with thanksgiving. I know the importance of confession. I know how great it is to pray for the world and for God's church, to intercede. But I miss and sense the core of it. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Christians are nothing without the Holy Spirit. We're nothing without the Holy Spirit. When we're to pray in the Spirit, I think it is about praying for the Holy Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit, first and foremost, we're praying for God's Spirit to be with us and work in us. And when we pray for the Holy Spirit, we are praying for God to be in us and working with us. Because you always remember, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about God. They work together in all things. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together in all things. The Father's work, the Spirit's work, the work of the Son is the same work. When we pray for the Holy Spirit, we pray for God to work in our lives. So our prayers are impoverished if we don't ask for more of Him in our prayers. The psalmist says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you, after you, God. There's a wonderful passage, we were looking at it at church, E1, a few weeks ago. We often, when we look at the Lord's Prayer, we often look at Matthew's Gospel's version, Matthew chapter 6. But we were looking at Luke's Gospel, Luke 11. And the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Lord, teach us how to pray. That's a great prayer, by the way. So the disciples come to Jesus and say, teach us how to pray. And Jesus shares the Lord's Prayer. And then he teaches about a good father will give compared to a bad father. You know, if a good father asks for fish, if a son asks for a fish, why would a child ask for a fish? Why would a good father give a stone instead? And he teaches about that. And he finishes with this: if you then, though you are evil, know how to good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So after his teaching on prayer, his punchline at the end of chapter 11 is, you're to ask for the Holy Spirit. You're to ask for more of me. That's the foundation. That's the golden thread of prayer. There's an ancient hymn of the church which begins, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. That, I think, is the beginning of praying in the Spirit, is to asking the Holy Spirit to work in us, to be present with us. It's a great opening prayer for when we come to worship together. It's a great opening prayer for when we sit alone at home in prayer. But when we pray, it's a dangerous prayer. You said we had a dangerous song. And it's quite right when we come to church that we have dangerous songs and dangerous prayers. The Lord's Prayer is dangerous prayer. Thank you. Thank you. The Lord's Prayer is dangerous. But this prayer, come Holy Spirit, is particularly dangerous, I think. This morning, I don't know how many of you, who was disturbed by the sleep last night by the wind? Any of you? A few nods. Anybody have any problems this morning or a bit concerned about the storm this morning? Maybe not, but I think our brothers and sisters in Scotland might be. And watching the rugby yesterday, they managed to get that done just in time, I think. Because when we pray, come Holy Spirit, we sort of need to be ready for the storm. The word for spirit used here is pneuma, which means wind. On our overheads all day today, we've had one of the pictures of the Holy Spirit is wind. And in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for the Spirit was ruach, in wind, breath. And there's this picture when we pray, come Holy Spirit, that we're not quite sure what's going to happen. The wind seems sort of random, powerful. The wind, the storm, is unpredictable. It's surprising. It stops us in our tracks. When we pray, come Holy Spirit, when we pray in the Spirit, for the Spirit, then we're not quite sure what's going to happen. We're open to the God of surprises. We're open to the wildness of God. Now we know, as we sang just a moment ago, we know that God will love us. The wind will come. It'll be a loving wind. But it'll be a wind that may challenge us and lift us up off our feet and put us in a new direction. We're told, Jesus tells us, the wind blows where it wills. So when we pray, come Holy Spirit, we're not quite sure which direction he's going to lead us. So when we pray in the Spirit, it's to pray to God for more of his Spirit. But to pray, come Holy Spirit. And we need this Spirit because to pray in the Spirit is to pray for readiness. It's to pray for readiness, to fight for peace in the world that is violent and demonic. the wonderful picture before in this famous passage of putting on the armor of God. Paul is in prison. He's no doubt seen a few soldiers and in prison. He's seen the armor, meditated on it. And this armor that he'd seen and these soldiers seen represented a world which was violent and demonic, a world which stood against all that God was about. That stood against Jesus, who said, love your enemies. Jesus said, bless your persecutors. And the world he sees around him is full of violence. And he suggests a different type of strength, a different type of armor that stands against these powers. Now, sometimes when we think of demonic power, spiritual forces, we think of ethereal things. We think of things floating around in the air somehow. But these powers in our world are concrete. They have a reality to them. They have a reality into the poverty we see. They have a reality into the violence that we experience and the threat of violence. They have a reality in how our young people, the pressures on our young people each day. These forces have a real grounded reality in our city today. Greed, violence. These are the demonic forces which we're to be ready, have a readiness to stand against and pray against. So are we ready in our prayer to stand against these things in our community? Are we ready in our prayer to be incredible forgivers? To forgive when those things come into reality? In the Lord's Prayer, prayer and action are assumed to be one side of the same coin. Prayer and action come together. So in the Lord's Prayer, when we're told to forgive, it's because God has forgiven us. And it's assumed in the Lord's Prayer that if we don't forgive, God will not forgive us. Prayer and action go together. And if we are to be ready to fight in prayer against violence, against greed, how are we acting like that as a church and a congregation? So to pray for readiness, we're to pray for specific needs as well. I think sometimes we're tempted in church. We're told to pray on all occasions and all kinds of requests. We're to request things of God in our prayer. We're to ask God for things. Those things we need. We sometimes shy away from that because we think God's got more important things to worry about. It's too big for our prayers. But we're to request things. We're to desire things that we desire for our community. We're to pray for them. Things we need, we're to pray for them. Again, in the Lord's Prayer, give us today our daily bread. We're to pray for the things that we need. In my other work, I'm part-time, I work as a community organiser. I think I mentioned this last time, with Citizens UK. And we teach people how to negotiate. We teach people how to negotiate with power. So I've had a few negotiations, for example, with the Mayor of Tyham, it's John Biggs. I've had a few negotiations with property developers that I've led as a leader. And I teach other people how to do these things. And if you're going to negotiate, you need to ask very clearly what you want. We teach negotiation, we do role plays. So they can last for a long time. And it's incredible. You give a team, say, you need to ask these people for this. You give them a scenario. It might be the living wage, right? So you're asking the company you work for the living wage, which we've done and won lots of. And it's amazing, you give them that scenario and that's all they've got to do, and they spend a lot of time arguing about the philosophy of It's important to look after your workers. It's important to do this, important to do that. They've got 10 minutes to argue for it and never mention the fact they want the living wage and how much it is. They don't ask clearly. You have to ask people in power clearly what they want, and if they say no, then they're going to get a reaction from you. Ask very clearly. We come to God and we don't ask him for stuff. We come to God. And there's great parables about the, if you think I'm putting God in the wrong box, right, he's a bad employer or he's like a political master, think of the parables of the persistent widow, or the parable of the unjust judge, where we're told to persevere. We're to be like that with God. We're to persevere for those things that we need. And if we don't get those things, to keep on praying and keep on coming to God. That's what it means to pray in the Spirit. I think, finally, praying in the Spirit is praying for the church. It's great this morning that hearing that the leadership yesterday were thinking about how we pray for the church. You know, as leaders in the church, that's our first job. And as congregational members in the church, as members of the church, our first job is to pray, I think, for the church. Pray for God's people here, represented by this congregation. Pray for E1 Community Church. Please pray for us. Pray for the other churches in our community and pray for God's worldwide church. You shared this morning about praying for the prayer you prayed in terms of your thankfulness was spot on. The theme of this sermon. Praying for this. Thank you God for Jesus. Thank you God for his Holy Spirit. Thank you God for his church. Please pray for the church. That's what we're told here. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of God's people. Prayers for the church are not wasted. God listens because he loves his church. And okay, the church is imperfect. We all make mistakes. We all forget to love each other. We forget to forgive each other. But this place is a place of prayer, and it's a place where we learn how to pray together, and we learn how to pray for each other and his church. So don't miss the guts of prayer just by going through the motions. Although going through the motions is better than nothing. Pray in the Spirit. Pray for him. Pray that we will be ready to stand against the violent world in which we live. Pray that we would be pacific and ask for things of God. Perhaps why my prayer life is often so stale is because I don't pray for things, and I don't pray, keep on praying when they don't happen. And pray for God's church. Pray that we would be God's people and remind the world of who they are. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray. And it's great we did the... God's Spirit's working there. Because I'd like us to pray, think about what we're going to pray for. And I've got some pieces of paper, so it's slightly different than the... I'd like to hand out some pieces of paper. On the back of some, it's recycled, there's some spelling tests, if you want to do those. they're reading tests that my wife used to work on. I'm going to list. Have you still got your pens from before? Have they been taken off you? They don't trust you here, do they? They're going to bring these pens back. So if you could grab a pen. The first of all, we're going to do a little bit of origami, but the very simple kind. I'd like you to get your piece of paper and fold it in half. As so. You get your piece of paper and fold it in half. Perfect. And then fold it in half again. Like that. So just fold it in half. So it's A5. And then fold it half again long ways. Like that. And on one of those leaves of paper, I'd just like you to write, "Come Holy Spirit." A reminder that our prayer is to pray for God to be here, to be working in us, through us. So the first prayer is, "Come Holy Spirit." Then I'd like to pray for, in the first section, I'd like you just to think about something you think we need to be fight against in our communities. What's our fight in our community? What are we to pray for or against in our community today? What's our fight? What are we ready? What fight are we ready for? Let's do that. I'll give you a couple minutes to think about that. You don't have to write it down, but some people find it helpful to write it down. Some people don't. But write something in there or think about something. What do we need to be ready to fight against in our communities? What are the enemy schemes that are going on around us? What's our fight? What are we to pray for in our communities? Does anyone want to share what they've written? So mental health services. Yeah. So we're to fight for better mental health. And we're to fight for services, better mental health services. Because we have a sort of epidemic, don't we, in our community of issues around mental health. Because of isolation. In a sense, if you might call... You could say one of the devil's schemes today is to isolate us, is to put us, separate us as communities and as people. We have an isolation epidemic in our world today. How do we build community? How do we build relationships? So there's a great book called Lost Connections, actually written by an atheist, but... And it's about how, because of our disconnection in this world, that can often lead to mental health issues, or it leads to us not being able to deal with our mental health issues because we're just so divided and isolated. So yes, thank you, Becky. Anything else that we stand against? Thank you. Just go one. Just give us one. What hits your heart the most? Yeah. Yeah. So violence and terrorism. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, please. Knife crime. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, stories of I heard stories this week, and in my other work I listen to a lot of people's stories. And just last week I heard of, you know, young people coming up to other young people on the street and saying, oh, do you want a PFC? I'll buy you something. The young person gets into, thinks this person's their friend or is in debt to this person, leads to being involved in drugs and other things. And the greed and the influence on our young people and the violence that comes along with it, is pernicious for our young people. I don't feel it so much. I feel pretty safe walking on the street. But my son, who's 19, he's on his toes all the time, right? He's a big lad and he's got a lot of friends in the community, but it's not enough sometimes. So our young people, they live under this, and it's oppressive. I think the young people involved in the crime and stuff, I would no way say that they're demonic. It's not they're demonic, but it's a system that they're in. That is. And we need to stand against it and pray against it. And do stuff about it as well, not just pray. Yes, please. Poverty. Day-to-day, continuous poverty is demonic. It's of the enemy. And we're to stand against it. We're to stand against it. Sorry? Drugs, yeah. And some of these things are all systems that are all moving together. And I don't want us to feel overwhelmed. I want us to feel that we're to pray for this. Be ready to pray for these things and ready to work together to act on these things. Because I think churches have a particular thing to say on these issues and to work together on them. We can talk about that another time. But yes, thank you. Okay, that's the first section, very quickly. What's the fight? Then, what are our needs? And it's okay to pray for our needs. It's okay to make requests of God. You won't always hear back the answer we're looking for, but it's good to make these requests of God. And maybe there's one thing you need. I'm not going to ask you to share it. But there's one thing you need to ask God for and keep asking God for. And you might want to share that with somebody you trust after the service. But here's the one thing you need to ask God for. And then finally, in the last section, when you get a chance, what's the prayer for God's church? What's the prayer for this church, this congregation? What's your prayer for God's church? Okay. I'll give you a couple of minutes to do that. Sorry. So the second section was praying. The third one, the last one, the last section is praying for the church. What's your prayer for the church? I'm not sure on the AV whether we can finish this section by having the Lord's Prayer up there. It's Matthew 6, isn't it? Let's just share the Lord. I'll speak the Lord's Prayer, and if you know it, speak it out. If you just want to be quiet, that's fine. But let's say the Lord's Prayer together. I usually go for, I don't usually do the arts, but if you want to do the arts in heaven, you can. I usually say sins, but you can do trespasses or debts, whatever. It doesn't matter which words you use, but let's share the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Go away and pray those prayers today and this week. Are we singing next? Brilliant. We're going to sing before we share communion together.
We're going to sing a song called May the Fragrance of Jesus Fill Our Lives. And if it's new to you, then just follow the music group and join in.